What's up, everyone? This is John Ricard. You are listening to Camera Work Podcast number 47. Our guest today is Marchetta. Now, I don't even know Marchetta's last name. What is your name, Marchetta?
It's Bettis. Marchetta Bettis.
Okay. Marchetta Bettis.
Yes.
Now, how did I meet you?
Well...
And come closer to that mic.
Okay. So, I don't know if you remember. You met me a year ago, but recently... You re-met me at Black Girls Rock when I volunteered to be your photographer assistant, because last year I wasn't your assistant. I was like, oh my God, this looks like it's going to be like the real deal. I really need to volunteer for this.
That's funny.
Next year. And I did. So right. I've been like high key following you on Instagram, but not like saying anything.
Right.
And then I helped you out. And then of course I was like, hey, by the way, I stalk you on Instagram.
Right. Which, you know, I mean, I think that's cool. I've had people who kind of think it's weird to, like, follow people on Instagram and sort of know them, like, know their daughter or their wife or their hobbies. But I think that's cool. That's what Instagram should be. It should give people a chance to kind of know you, who you are, in addition to the photography. And I was going to bring you on to two things we're going to talk about, I thought. One, we're going to talk a little bit about the gig that we did. Let's just explain what that was, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the challenges of shooting that.
Yes.
But we're also going to talk about you, in a sense of you would like to be doing this as a career, if you could make that work.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk a little bit about how you might go about that.
Okay.
So how would you explain what the gig was? What was I shooting that day?
So our objective was to capture... real women, mothers and daughters, mostly, at Black Girls Rock, as well as curvy women. So our challenge.
And what is Black Girls Rock?
Black Girls Rock is an initiative for, I don't want to speak it the wrong way, but initiative for more advanced individuals who are interested in following their passion. You have, like, Black Girls Who Code. You have, like, there's a Black Girls Rock Camp. Like, this is just a whole movement to honor and pretty much showcase the abilities of Black girls.
Right, and there's an actual event where we're at NJPAC.
Yes.
And they're putting on, it's kind of like a little bit of a concert and an awards ceremony in an arena.
Yes.
And they were awarding women like Rihanna and a bunch of people. I think Hillary Clinton was even at this event, right?
Yes, yes. So we have
cool. So where were we set up? What are we doing, you and me?
Where we were right by the entrance to capture people as soon as they got in, because we're cool that way. So pretty much we had our still photography set up right by the entrance to grab the women as they come in, and then like... them in their just before they're like they get too tired in the show and they're still glammed up and they're excited before the show and the performances. So these are like real women, super quick. Like the challenges with that was super quick. Like we had to get the women in within maybe a minute or two.
Right.
Like
and people use terms like a minute or two.
No, it's
way less than that,
yeah,
right? Way less, right? Nowhere near a minute.
No.
This, I mean, so basically, and the good thing for me is as the photographer for this, because I'm working with BET, mm-hmm. there's other people bringing in the women and other people taking care of the release and explaining what we're doing. So all I had to do was actually photograph them.
Yeah.
But I'm getting them from anywhere between like 20 seconds to maybe 45 seconds. I mean, it's a really short period of time.
Yeah.
And we're trying to create these really high energy portraits, like moments where they're like screaming and laughing and interacting, you know, and it's mentally really draining. And I don't know if people realize that, but I'm talking a mile a minute to them. And if you're watching the YouTube version of this, I'm going to show a little clip that Marchetta was kind enough to shoot of me actually working and shooting it at that time. So check the video version that will like overlay it as we're talking about it. But it is so mentally draining to talk to these people, to talk to the people in like this energetic manner. And the funny thing is for me, I don't even know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying anything to them. And it's kind of funny to me because I'm just kind of in like a zone and I'm just rattling off all these things.
I would say in this situation, we had like a crew of maybe six people. We have two people who were handling the release forms, myself as the photographer assistant, but I was more of getting the women comfortable, making sure the jewelry was okay, while John's here like, okay, we're gonna do 5 seconds, here, five different poses in 5 seconds. And I'm like, okay, you guys, let's make sure your jewelry's good.
Right.
Have like younger children, you're like, you're good, that's mom there, you know, you're talking to them.
Trying to find out the relationship between the people was also kind of important. But that was one of the techniques I used. Was I would say, pretend you're on the runway. We're going to do 5 pictures, and you're going to do it like you're on the runway. Right. And one of the things that I do with this type of a shoot is I try to get myself what I call in state. And what that means is I've got myself in a mind frame that says, you're going to pose for these pictures like a superstar, like a rock star. And in my brain at that moment, I'm not even entertaining the idea that you might be nervous. Because I'm not going to walk up to them and say, okay, now I know this may be different for you, and I know you may be uncomfortable, but I want you to just trust me. Don't worry, we're going to get some good photos, and we're not going to use anything bad. So what I want, I don't do any of that. I'm just talking to them as if I know already, almost that they've been trained for this. Yeah. Like just, hey, okay, show us why you rock, or show us why your mom is the best mom in the world, or I'm going to do 5 shots, and you do like you're on a runway, and I just do it. And I call it being in state. It's like where you're trying to have a belief in your head. And my belief is that they're all going to perform this beautifully. And I allow my belief to overpower their belief that, oh, I'm nervous, I'm scared. Can I do this? Can I not do it? Now, in my defense, because I can't give myself too much credit, some of this is a little easier than it might seem, because the women that were shooting, first of all, they volunteered to do this because they see a photo set up and they can easily just walk away and do it or not do it. Secondly, we're catching them when they're on a night on a town. Everybody's dressed to the nines. It looks like an old Muhammad Ali fight, you know, when like everybody comes out in like their best clothes, like everybody's trying to show why they rock. So these people are primed to want to show off and show out.
Definitely.
That's why they've come out dressed this way this night. So that does make it a little easier than, say, if I had to do this at, you know, the Sony building and I'm just dealing with like executives, it'd be way harder. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there is a big part of it that is me, which is the part that I'm pulling this out of them instantly. And the funny thing was, in all honesty, I don't think we had one person who choked out of all the people we shot.
I can't call any. No.
Right. No. Like everybody did it. Everybody got up there and did it.
They were super comfortable with themselves. They were just really easy to work with. Like, I mean, some needed direction. We provided that, mostly you.
Right.
I was just assisting.
Right. But the funny thing is, though, is that and you were very good at assisting in that, because you would be surprised is when you're trying to establish this rapport, someone can mess it up by saying the wrong thing. It's
Definitely.
A delicate thing that you have there. And the wrong comment can really screw it up. So to your credit, you did a really nice job of assisting there. And then, you know, I had you and I had a couple other people like helped unload the car even. And you guys were just so like humble in that sense. Like, and I really should have had, like, they make this thing looks like a hand truck, but it can go on 4 wheels. Should have had one of those to wheel it in. I don't know. I just wasn't thinking right. So. But you guys really rose to the occasion and definitely assisted nicely. So I thank you for being the right person there and for volunteering to do it. Okay. Now, you said the word Instagram earlier today, right?
I did.
And again, for me, and I've mentioned this on a podcast every week, Instagram comes up, but I've mentioned many times, for me, Instagram is a place where I create content. I don't use Instagram to view content. Mm-hmm. So I don't really look at hardly anybody's Instagram. I'll glance at it like if I'm in an elevator or I'm stuck online. But there are very few people who I look at what they post from day to day. And I know it's not where I go to look at content.
Right.
But after you took a picture of me, I think, and I tagged you at the Black Girls Rock thing. You took a picture of me with the lights. I wanted to show the behind the scenes thing. And I clicked your Instagram profile. And what did I discover when I clicked it?
I was private.
You're private. All right. Now, you know, when I first had the idea for the podcast, I had this idea I was going to do like the Ricard rant. Like every episode, there would be this like 10-minute rant where I would just go and rip into something. And I said, let me not do that because it's just stupid.
Maybe.
Annoying.
I mean, if you can change my mind, I'm okay with that. But like I've had this argument with people as far as like me not being open and me being private. And it's just, I don't want like... I don't know, I have like a way how I want my Instagram to be viewed. And then once you open it up, you have like people putting their ads on that, buy this, right, sell that. I'm like, oh God.
Right. Well, we're going to end this so-called argument with with a one-sided rant about why your Instagram should not be private.
Okay. I'm ready.
So let's just like, here's one thing that may not occur to you. Okay. So suppose I'm an art director and right, you get on my radar somehow. I'm somewhat aware of you in some kind of way, and I want to see your work or what you're doing from day to day. And let's say I'm with Complex Magazine, which mm-hmm. is really cool kind of photography magazine. You love to be in Complex. And let's mm-hmm. say I'm the art director there. I don't want you to know I'm looking at your work.
Oh.
Because I don't want you to come to me now and say, like, oh, I see you're following me. Oh, can I shoot something? No, I just want to look at you on a DL.
Okay.
And if you're private, I am not going to request you. So you're closing the door gotcha. On anybody like that who would have a legitimate reason for checking out your work, but has a legitimate reason for not wanting you to know they're looking at your work.
Okay.
That's to me, that is huge.
They're both for privacy reasons, right? So you're saying you want the privacy when looking at my page. And I'm like, I want the privacy like when you, like, who's allowed to look at it?
Yes, but the thing is that if I am that art director from Complex, and I want you to get closer to that mic.
Okay.
I'm going to be right up on it like that. If I'm that art director from Complex,
yes,
in the argument in what you're talking about right here, I'm way more important than you. My needs are more important than yours, in the sense that you want me to call you and say, you know, I got a project I think you would be good at. Like, you know, you mentioned you look at my Instagram and mm-hmm. I shoot these couples on a subway. Mm-hmm. That's a theme I do when I do street photography. I look for couples. I try to get them arguing, kissing, hugging, interacting. Okay. That's the theme that I work.
Okay.
So imagine somebody has a job in that realm. It's possible someone might call me and go, we're working on this thing of public displays of affections for, you know, some such and such bubblegum company. And we think you'd be good to shoot it.
Okay.
So there's a legitimate, I want that call. So for you, your concerns about privacy are not worth you losing that potential call.
Mm-hmm.
So these things aren't equal. Like, you want privacy and he needs his privacy to view your, or she needs her privacy to view your Instagram feed. Well, what's important to you? What's important to you is getting the job.
Right.
To hell with your privacy. Make your Instagram something that art director could find you and hire you. That's
mm-hmm.
the only reason anybody should be on Instagram, far as I'm concerned. If you're a damn photographer, you want to get some work.
Gotcha.
So that's a huge reason.
Okay.
Secondly, suppose it's not as complicated as that. Let's just suppose somebody is in a, say a male in particular, is in a position where they could potentially help you in some way. And remember, it doesn't just have to be that I'm the art director for Complex Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I could just be some guy who's an accountant and one of my friends is thinking of starting a clothing line and he might just need some pictures and he's got a $200 budget.
Mm-hmm.
Just a simple thing that could potentially be a gig. Because
mm-hmm.
everybody knows everybody. Everybody's an independent business person. This person could have a friend who owns a coffee shop. He needs portraits, whatever, right?
Right, right.
This, again, is a gig that could go to you. Again, not a huge gig, but just a low-paying gig. This individual guy may not be comfortable following a private female.
Mm-hmm.
There are men who are in relationships, unfortunately, I'm not one of them, where their wives are going to be like, who is this girl? Why are you requesting her? Why are you following her? Because it's not a public account.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not be comfortable to say, I want to follow your feed. So you want to make the Instagram feed as followable as possible.
Okay.
It's a public platform. It makes no sense to turn it private.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
To that sense, say, okay, so for you, you're a photographer.
Right.
Now, you say you're using it to create content and to put your content out there.
Right.
Now, individuals who have two, would you say that I should have two, like a personal and a
photographer? This is how I would answer this for me personally.
Okay.
I think Instagram is so time consuming to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
To do it right, you need to post every day,
mm-hmm.
ideally at the same basic time of day. I post in the morning or I post in the evening.
Right.
And here's the really hard part. The content has to be good. It needs to be good pictures and it needs to be good words. To me, that's a damn full-time job.
Sure
so
is.
I think it's impossible to do both. I
okay.
really do.
Okay.
And I think that you can, and again, and if you look at you, are a really good example of this, because I have one account, basically. I have a secondary account, but it's so unimportant, it's not worth mentioning. It's updated once every 6 months. So forget, let's not even talk about that. So I have the one account. But you, just a person following my Instagram, from the conversation we had at BET, were aware of the work that I consider my professional work.
Mm-hmm.
which is the street photography of the couples interacting on the subway, which, to the best of my knowledge, I've never seen anyone else create this content. It's right. an original thing right. that I kind of discovered, and that's my theme. Been working it now for about 4 years. I can show you 4 years old pictures of couples interacting underground on a subway, like love in these dangerous, dark subway stations, right? But you are also aware that I have a daughter,
yeah.
and I have a fantastic relationship with my daughter, and I love my daughter, and we get to spend a ton of time, and I'm so proud that, like, I live with my daughter, and I'm there. I drive her to school every single morning, and I'm hugely, this is, like, such an important thing in my life. And you are able to look at my Instagram and get a sense of my professional work and my personal life.
Okay.
In that sense, my Instagram account works. Okay. Now, it doesn't work in terms of followers. I've got, like, I've been on Instagram since nobody even knew what it was, and I've got like 3,000 followers. I get like 30 likes on a picture. It is not successful in that sense.
Oh,
but the feed is successful in that you have a sense of what I do professionally, and you have a sense of what I do personally.
Okay.
And if you really, really succeed in these areas, and if you think about this, is there not a kind of a theme that sort of connects the personal and the private? In other words, doesn't it make sense that the guy who is in the subway shooting couples being romantic with each other and embracing is the same guy that has a good relationship with his daughter? There's a consistency there. If you're thinking about branding, it's consistency. I'm not shooting like, you know, like whatever, like the crime of the subway and then my daughter.
Yeah,
like what I'm shooting, actually, it's cohesive.
Right.
So if your personal content is, you know, whatever, oh, here's a drawing I did, and here's me going to the museum, and here I'm taking a trip to a place I've never been, and you're a photographer, well, this could be fine.
Okay.
They're not in conflict.
Okay.
Now, if your personal content is like, well, here's me in my underwear, and, you know, I'm in the window half, I'm in the mirror half naked, and then you're trying to say, I'm a corporate photographer, well, that, those might not match.
Okay.
You follow?
Right.
So then, well, maybe you did need separate. But I think there's no problem in connecting these two things. And there's a photographer that we mentioned on the last podcast, a conversation I had with Kawana Curry, who's a photographer. We mentioned a photographer named Jeremy Cowart. So I guess that's, this is going to be hard. J-E-R-E-M-Y-C-O-W-A-R-T. And like, he, to me, does the absolute best at blending the two together. His personal work, his personal images are as good as his professional images. So even when it's a picture of his daughter, you're still going, this guy is a great photographer.
Okay.
Whereas mine doesn't accomplish that. You might go, oh, his daughter's cute, but you don't go, what a great photograph of his daughter. Understand?
Okay.
And like, I like the picture because I took it and it's my daughter, but you're not going to look at any picture of my daughter and go, what a great photo. I wish I had a print of that. Whereas with his,
you're like, that's how you feel.
Yeah, the photograph is good of his personal work, and the photography is good on his professional work. So again, he doesn't have to separate the two because they're both accomplishing something.
Gotcha.
So having the private account just makes zero sense.
All right.
Zero.
Okay.
You need to make it public, and you need to, again, have some kind of consistency between the personal and professional. And if you can, and this is the hard part, make the personal images really great photographs, which is not, which again is an area that I don't really succeed at, but that's a goal. That's something to strive for.
Okay, I can do that.
Now, with you, so what is it that you shoot or want to shoot? Because I have not seen it, because I didn't follow your Instagram out of like some attitude-y thing. I just never got around to pushing a button because I'm going to look at it one time and I'm never going to come back to it because I barely look at Instagram. But what is it that you shoot?
Okay, so I'm in the preliminary stages. What I shoot right now are, recently I did yoga poses.
Okay, that's interesting.
So what I wanted to, there's two ways I did it. I did like her muscle tone, and I just wanted to get like her muscles, just like everything that she embodies as a yoga instructor, and then actual positions. Now this is just like me learning the whole process and what to look for.
Learning what? The yoga part or the photography part?
The photography part.
Oh,
yoga is not, that's hard.
Yes, it is. I go periodically and it is hard. Yeah, I go at least once. I mean, not at least. I basically go once a week.
Wow, that's a lot of strength there. I'm going to work up towards it, but
it's good.
More the photography on that side.
Right. So what is it that you're struggling with photographically speaking?
Oh, geez. Is there a list? I'm just not comfortable yet. I want to say that's probably my
What goes wrong? What's the problem?
I second guess myself. So I'll get the camera and I'll go, you know, to set up everything, right?
Right.
And then I'm like, is this really how, what would, say if I say, what would John do?
Right.
So I'm like,
funny.
This is not what John
would
do.
You say, let me not do that though. Let me not do what John would do.
So I'm like, this isn't how it should look.
Right.
And I just don't feel like, it's not seamless yet to me.
Right.
But again, I'm still
right.
new.
But see, I think, and this may surprise you, and I know when I've heard people say stuff like this, I honestly have never believed them. Mm. So if I see someone who, say, a successful stand-up comic like a Chris Rock, and if he were to say, I still get nervous before I go on stage, I go like, that's not even true. Like, why do they say that? That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm telling you is really the truth. For me, at least, the second guessing never stops.
Okay.
Literally never stops. Like I, again, so you take the job we did for BET, right?
Right.
I photographed that on my Leica. And I don't know how well you know that particular camera, but it's a camera. I gave it to you for a few seconds when we there asked you to take a picture of me. But it's a manual focus camera. And I'm using what we call a fixed lens, meaning I can't zoom in.
Okay.
So I'm kind of locked into one framing when I'm shooting, unless I move closer, which can change the perspective, might not be a good thing, might be a problem, might not. And I have to manually focus it. And I'm shooting people who are moving, correct? They're interacting, they're laughing.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say to them, like if it's a mother and daughter, I'm like, oh, fix her bow. And then they're fixing the bow. They're moving around, whatever. I don't think there's another photographer on the planet who would be using a manual focus camera in 2016 to shoot this. And I honestly second guess myself. Like when I had to do the job again, I go, maybe I should just get my damn Nikon. Like, why am I shooting this on a manual focus camera? And I'm trying to focus, and I can lose a shot for focus. Like, again, in 2016, there is nobody shooting people against a backdrop who has to throw away pictures. Like, normally you would throw away pictures because they blink or the expression's awkward.
Mine's for focus, too.
Right. But, no, but jeez. But for this type of thing, there should be no focus issues. If I pull out my Nikon, I will guarantee that every single photograph will be in focus. But I chose to use my Leica because I like the camera. There's just something about it that I love. But but the point is, in the days before I did the job, I had to sit and really think, like, am I being stupid by using a manual focus camera on something that is intensely focus heavy?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that smart to use the tool that I love?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? The second guessing never stops. And I'll give you one other example. So I photographed this artist the other day, Miss Mulatto, for it was Jermaine Dupri's artist.
Okay.
A lot of fun. Great shoot. A lot of times I use my Leica, but it is a slower camera. Sometimes I use my Nikon because it is a faster camera and I can easier connect it to the computer so we can review the images as we shoot.
Mm-hmm.
So this time what I decided to do was, on the full-length pictures, head to toe, full-length,
okay.
I used my Nikon, and every time I went close to her for the close-ups, I used my Leica.
Okay.
When I got home, trying to process this was a disaster because the files look so different. It's hard to make it look like a cohesive shoot because one camera's doing the colors this way and the other one's doing it that way, and the lighting networks for the Nikon isn't perfect for the Leica. And I'm sitting saying to myself, like, shouldn't you have this figured out by now? Like, how are you really sitting here? Like, I've been in the same studio over 10 years, shot this kind of thing forever. I've been shooting for this magazine for, like, how do you, I've owned these cameras forever. How do you still not know, like, well, it's a dumb idea to mix the two cameras in this manner? Like, just shoot them both on, shoot the whole job on the one system so the colors are easier to match. Like, so the only point of that long, convoluted thing is, for me, at least, the second guessing never stops.
Okay.
So don't feel like, oh, there's this magic moment where you're going to go like, okay, I've got it figured out.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. Okay.
Well,
it's okay to struggle. And you have the computer, I'm assuming a laptop or computer where you can at least check it. Or if not, you learn how to read the screen good.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it right there.
Okay.
But what do you think for you is the most important thing for you to learn or figure out right now to become a good photographer?
To learn or figure out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, geez. What speaks to me personally? I want to say.
Okay. Yeah. What does that mean? Explain that.
Basically, like what, there's the pictures you like taking.
Right.
And there's the ones that you can tell that you enjoy. And then there's the ones that are like, oh, okay.
Right.
And I'm trying to find my niche.
Right.
Like, I like the street photography, and I like to catch people organically, you know, doing things that they usually do.
Right.
But then what?
Right.
So
okay.
That's what I
think the answer you gave was insanely great. Mm-hmm. That was a fantastic answer.
Okay.
Honestly, did not expect that.
Okay.
But you said, I said, the question I asked you was, what is the most important thing for you to figure out? You didn't go down a technical route.
Yeah.
You didn't. You said, what speaks to me?
What speaks to me?
That is really it. That really is it. It's amazing you got that.
I didn't
it's
say
fantastic.
The technical.
No.
I can't speak to that yet. I can't, like.
No, because the technical, you can learn that. You can learn that in a week. So don't worry about that. I mean, you know, worry about it. You got to get it right. But you can learn that. But the idea of what speaks to you, right? Because ultimately what you're trying to do is, what you're trying to do is, like, again, when I go on a subway, I tend to shoot couples.
Right.
Let's say you go to the same subway and shoot something
just
different.
Won't see the same way.
Correct. If you see colors, and that's what you shoot, or you see the lines of perspective, mm-hmm. or you see the ugliness of the subway, people sitting, you see how crowded it is, you see how it's freezing in the summertime because the air conditioner is on like mm-hmm. 20 degrees. And it's, you're like, I'd rather just be in the heat at this point because I'm freezing on this damn train.
Okay.
I literally bring a sweater in the summertime just for the subway because I'm freezing. But if you could photograph that, and I'm photographing couples, you're doing the right thing because that is what speaks to you. And ultimately, that's what people are going to hire you for. How do you see the world? What are you trying to say about the world? Mm-hmm. That is the number one thing you need to figure out. And it's amazing that at least you have an understanding of that. That took me a very long time to understand.
Wow.
Because for so long, my work was assigned. People would just go, well, like, okay, this is the magazine and these are the pictures we need.
Okay.
And I understood what they needed and I shot what they needed. I wasn't thinking of what I wanted to do. I thought of what I could sell. What do they need? And I think today that's not really the case.
Gotcha.
Because today you're publishing your own magazine called Instagram. And of course, yours is like an old Playboy magazine in 1953. It's behind a counter in a plastic bag that nobody can see it. I don't
okay.
know. And people may, just like that, and people may be embarrassed to ask for it. Like I said with that example before,
right.
where the guy may not want to request a girl, you know, to follow her Instagram or whatever. So, but that really is the thing you need to do, is you need to figure out, like, what is important to you, and then how can you show that in different things? So, like, when you mentioned yoga, like, you could shoot yoga from the standpoint of like health.
Mm-hmm.
You could shoot yoga from the perspective of like strength, because yoga takes way more strength
definitely,
than most people realize.
Definitely.
You could shoot yoga as being something very sexy. There's all these
different type of variations.
Right.
I know what you mean.
And that's the thing you need to do. And when you really figure it out, this is really the amazing thing. When you really, really figure it out, you realize that you can transfer it to other things. So if you can shoot yoga sexy, a person who needs a car photographer might hire you to shoot cars sexy or dogs sexy or whatever. I mean, I'm just coming up with things out of nowhere. But
okay.
you, once you have the vision, how you see things, you can transfer it into another area. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. But if you're just sort of blindly just pushing a button, then no, it's not going to work
right.
for you. You have to be saying something. You understand? Right. But you should feel good because you're definitely on the right track with it because you understand. And again, the idea of what you're trying to say, that is like we said about the technical in a way, it never gets solved.
Mm-hmm.
You're never going to just go, okay, now I know what I'm saying. No, it's going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you married, for example?
Mm-mm.
Right. So as a single woman, then you may have a certain outlook. When you become a married woman, do you have any children?
No.
Right. And let's say you have 3 kids and you're married. Well, then what you're saying might be a little different. Not going to be dramatically different.
Right.
But it might shift over time.
Gotcha.
You understand? Like,
right.
you're employed right now, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You work at BET Centric. Is
mm-hmm.
that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But again, if you were unemployed for a year, then your view might change a bit. It's not going to change 100% because you're still you.
Mm-hmm.
But the view, the vision, what you're trying to say is going to shift a little bit all the time.
Gotcha.
So again, you're never going to just get it figured out. You're never going to get it figured out. It's a process. It's an ongoing thing that you keep looking for. What am I trying to say about yoga? What am I trying to say about the subway? And if you're lucky, you will find some connections and then you'll have a cohesive portfolio of work. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Where we see you in the pictures. It can be a beautiful thing when you get it right. Okay.
Something to look forward to. I'm super excited about this journey that's coming on.
Yes. And the other thing that you really need to do is you need to understand the business part of it. And that part you need to be doing not out of like passion, but just out of a strict business sense. It's one of my weakest areas, truth be told, but it is crucial. You need to be looking at it like a Dunkin' Donuts in a way. Mm-hmm. Like you're just running a Dunkin' Donuts, and what is logical? And what area do you picture doing that would be good financially? Have you thought about it in that sense?
No, I have not. I haven't thought about the finances of it. When right. I even thought about photography and taking it on as, you know, as a hobby slash it can go further, I wasn't even thinking about the business sense yet, because it was more of, once I get familiar, then it's, okay, what can I do with it? How can I help other people? What can I right. bring to the table? Right. And it wasn't like, oh, you know, hey, you know, you want to shoot weddings? That wasn't like my first thought. It
right.
was more of,
right.
you know what, there's people who want their picture taken, and I need that experience.
Right.
So that was more, that was, right. that was.
And that's fine.
That's it. That's right. all I got.
A lot of rappers who started off on a corner rapping weren't thinking, oh, I'm going to make money.
True.
They right? just love to rap. And right. then eventually that's they go, wait a minute, there might be a money train in here. Let me get on board with that. So yeah, that's a completely fine way to start. Mm-hmm. But there is nothing wrong to at some point kind of thinking of it as a business. And even if you kind of separate it out, you kind of go, I photograph this to make money, and this is what I shoot about, as you said, what speaks to me.
Okay.
You can do that. You can separate it out a little bit. But I mentioned to you when we spoke briefly that if I were starting today, and particularly as a female, I would actually yes. pursue boudoir photography, mm-hmm. which is, you know, I mean, it's a simple way. It's women in their underwear. You know, that's what it is. And mm-hmm. it's sexy shots of women. And that market seems to be mostly like women like 30 to 40 in that range. It's not the half naked, I've got a big butt in front of a Ferrari and
no.
a thong. It's not that. It's women. You
okay.
understand?
And
you're selling it back to them. And most of those people who sell that, they sell prints back to the people. So they do a photo shoot for a few hours and they're selling them prints
okay.
or they're selling them a book of images of themselves. And the reason I say for women is because I think women have a good way to market it. You know, women always play that card like, well, you're going to feel comfortable because I'm a woman and it won't be sleazy. And, you know, so, excuse me. I think it's an area that works really well. I think a lot of women succeed in it because they're able to market it under that pretense, which in reality to me is like, you know, to me it's a really like silly pretense, because in reality it's like, if I was shooting that genre, I'd be marketing the exact opposite. I'd be like, look, a woman doesn't know what's sexy. You need a guy to shoot you sexy. You don't need a guy knows what looks right. A woman has no freaking clue about how to shoot anybody sexy. So you need a guy to shoot it. That's how I would market it as a guy. But mm-hmm. I see women who use the fact that they're women marketing that angle, that I'm a woman and I'll make you comfortable and you don't have to worry about it being this sleazy thing mm-hmm. or somebody mm-hmm. just wants to see you naked. It's none of that. It's going to be this professional environment. And another thing about the boudoir stuff is that, unlike a wedding, which is so hard to shoot, you've got the reception and the ceremony and the family formals and you're juggling. How many people at a wedding? 50 people, 60? Like,
yeah.
This is one woman that you're shooting.
Right.
And you might have a 3 or 4 hours. And I see people who use either like a studio with like a fake bed
in it.
You know, they just put up like an inflatable bed
right.
and a mattress, or there's these backdrops you buy that look like the back of a bedroom and you just put them up and you shoot that. And other ones who go to their houses and shoot
right.
it. But people are able to do it with a minimal amount of equipment. There's a ton of boudoir photographers who say, I don't use lighting, I do natural light. They're not even buying lights, they're just using
really?
Window light and stuff. So
okay.
to me, that's an area that you can enter with a kind of low price point.
Okay.
And then you've kind of got this kind of built-in marketing thing where you're like, you know, I'm a female and I can make you comfortable. And that works just smoothly. And I'm not trying to act like, well, if you're a woman, you can't shoot anything. You could shoot anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to say, like, there's just kind of this built-in angle that there's a certain type of marketing you can do that a guy can't do.
Right.
So it's just a kind of cool area. And it doesn't take a lot of gear to do it. And
good.
The money is high. These people are making $1,000, $1,200, $1,500 selling
what?
Prints to their clients. So I think that's an area that I would look into if I were starting today, like, without a doubt.
Okay.
And I'd be looking for these, you know, upscale women who want this shoot, who are going to feel comfortable with another woman. And I would pursue that. But again, I'd pursue it as a business. You're going to
right.
still put your stamp on
right.
it, but you're going to pursue it
as a business.
you know, as a business.
I need a business plan in a second.
Yes, you do. Yeah, there's some good resources out there, though. So, you know, all the information is out there.
Okay.
You just have to, you know, put in the work. You know, you have to put in the work is the thing. That's why we call the podcast camera work. You need a camera. You got to do the work. So you got to do them both.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And one other question that I was wondering, like, do you have any type of a morning routine? Like, what do you do in the morning when you wake up?
What do I do in the morning? First, I usually lay there for a second because right. I'm usually, like, awake prior to my alarm.
Okay.
So I'll wait right. for my alarm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't really do much in the morning.
Right. But it's just a regular, like, checking Twitter and whatnot. And
you know what? I banned my phone from myself in the morning because
that's amazing.
I will get stuck and late because
right.
I'll be just like reading the news, checking
right.
the last 5 hours of Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Right. right.
And I'll get stuck.
Right.
And so I'm like, no phones in the morning.
That's
like,
great.
As
that's
I'm
fantastic.
Getting dressed, because I'll be like the like, ah, oh shit,
right.
is that what I want to wear? Have like
right.
two different socks on because I'm so into,
you're so busy looking at
yes, so
the latest from Love and Hip Hop
like,
or something. Right.
Which did come on yesterday.
Right.
Missed it though.
Yeah.
Missed it. No. But
I
yeah,
caught it,
so
unfortunately.
That is my morning, like.
Right. I've been trying very hard to develop a morning routine, but it is so difficult for
is.
Me. It is so difficult
is.
To not just check the email and check, you know, whatever, Facebook, whatever,
mm-hmm.
and to really do the right thing. But I find that so many successful people have a specific morning routine. And
true.
You do have a piece of it because you're saying, I don't mess with the phone in the morning. But they have those things just like that where they go, I don't do this or I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to do something creative every morning where I wake up and even if it's like retouching a photograph or like
wow.
looking at images on 500 pics or just something, excuse me, that's a little bit creative
mm-hmm.
in the morning, but there are days that I can't make myself do it. I just can't.
Yeah.
I just sit there and I just, you know, looking through World Star Hip Hop in the morning instead of like doing something worthwhile.
Right.
And it's really hard
it
to
is.
Do it. Like,
I used to do
really
like,
hard.
I used to try and read a book on the way to the train,
right.
like as I was on the way to work. I can do
right.
that, but then you start getting like, performers in the morning.
Oh yeah, they Showtime and all this other nonsense.
Geez.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to read my book.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
it's like I had a new photography book.
Right.
I was reading, so
right.
that was.
Oh, that's cool. I'm gonna ask you about that, but let me say this really quick. I got in a big argument with a woman on the train the other day because it was funny because it is a packed
gosh.
Train, the 6 train at about 5:00. 42nd Street, train's packed, and as soon as the door closes, she's about 6 inches away from me, she starts screaming about Jesus and how he's going to save us and what
mm-hmm.
we need to do or whatever. So I started kind of laughing, and I just smiled, and I said, wow, you're funny. You wait till the door's closed, and we're all trapped, and then you start preaching.
Yes.
And of course, she ignores me. She starts preaching, and I kept trying to make this point to her. I started
mm-hmm.
talking to her. I said, do you realize, and I don't think she understood what I was trying to say. I said, do you realize even people who agree with you, people who love Jesus more than anything,
uh-huh.
they don't even want to hear you.
No.
They just want some peace and quiet. And she couldn't. She said, no, but Jesus. I go, no. I go, do you understand? So I started screaming out. I go, watch this. I go, watch. Do not beat baby seals. Let's stop clubbing baby seals.
See?
I go, everybody here agrees with me, but they all want me to shut up anyway. Okay?
Yes. That's
so,
pretty much what it is.
I don't think she understood that, but at all. She was just completely lost. It was funny. But what was the book you were reading, by the way?
It was, man. If you want to take great photographs, read this book.
I think I've seen it. They sell it at like our Urban Outfitters kind of thing, right?
I want to say that.
And it's a kind of small book.
It's like black, and it's Henry is his name.
Oh, okay, Henry is his name.
Cannot,
he's just Henry. He doesn't need anything
last
else.
Name, oh my God.
He's like Madonna.
I can't. It's slipping me. It's slipping
yeah.
me right now. But
I think I know the book, though. I think it's
it
sold at like Urban Outfitters where they have like steel, like an artist book, and they have like the Polaroid cameras and the
mm-hmm.
Lomo cameras and like the vinyl records.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the books that they have there. Right. That's
See?
Cool.
Yeah,
that's
one.
Good. Yeah, that's a good one, though. I recommend very often books from David Duchemin, okay. who has a mix of books. There's a site he has called Craft and Vision.
Craft and Vision.
You'll remember, because you're going to watch this podcast,
yes,
I'm sure, listen to it.
I'm going to write this down.
I'll text it to you or something, don't worry. But it's like Craft and Vision.
Craft and Vision.
And they have books. They're all $5, sometimes they're even cheaper. And he has a mix of books. Some are kind of not technical, but they're like about photography directly. So they'll be like, here's 10 ways to take better portraits. And they'll be like, eliminate the background
yes.
elements, or very clear and concrete. And then there'll be other books that just talk about the mental, the thing you said, because you hit it right on the head. You said, what speaks to me? So he calls that vision. Mm-hmm. And any book he has with the word vision in the title mm-hmm. is worth reading. They're just collections of like essays and blog posts.
Okay.
And there's no answer on post number 7 or page 5, but when you read them all, you start to get it. Like, oh, well, this is what I'm trying to say with my camera. This is who I am and how that shows up in my picture. So his stuff I find is really, really good in
okay.
terms of books. They're like ebooks, they're cheap. You put them on your iPad or whatever you're reading them on, and it's fantastic.
Okay.
So
got it.
I definitely recommend that. Any other thing that you're thinking of on your mind, or should we wrap this? That's in, do you know how long we went?
No, I'm
that was like 35 minutes. That was amazing.
What? How?
I don't know. I probably talk too much. I have the only podcast in the world where, like, my sister says to me, I talk too much on it. And I go,
stop.
It's my podcast. I'm supposed to talk. And she says, no, you talk too much. So I hope I didn't talk too much.
No, you're good.
I hope I didn't, like, talk over you or something like that.
No,
I
we had a learning experience.
Right. Okay. So where is your Instagram that hopefully by the time they hear this, which is like tomorrow, really,
yes.
will be public, hopefully.
It's
where is it?
Unprivated. That's the word.
Unprivated.
At ShettaBaby, ShettaBaby. That's
right.
Me.
Excellent.
Mark Shetta, part of my name, ShettaBaby. Okay.
Got it. ShettaBaby. Perfect. Excellent. Cool. Okay. And on the podcast, it's going to be at the bottom of the screen the whole time anyway. So they're going to see it. All right.
Okay.
Don't worry about
all
it.
Right.
All right. And mine, of course, is John Ricard. All right. Whatever. I guess that's about it. Thank you for listening, guys. And
thank
I say it all
you.
The time, but there's so many choices right on the internet.
Yes.
You don't have to listen to this. There's a million podcasts and, you know, videos and all these things you can listen to. And if you take 35 minutes to listen to us, I'm flattered. So thank
are.
You.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much for coming through, Marchetta.
No bye problem. Bye. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks. Bye-bye. That was so good. You did a fantastic job. You really, really did.
No problem. I was just being myself.